Francis Chan said, there are people who claim to be followers of Jesus, but their lives look nothing like his. I mean, when you think about that statement, how many people, even in our nation, would consider themselves Christians, but when you look at their lives, they don't look like Jesus. They don't even act like Jesus. So he's right. See, a Christian, the moment that you decide to be a believer in Christ, the moment you decide to be a Christian, you make a transition. You transition from darkness into light, from death into life. That's the whole transition that we all have walked. We all done it. As Christians, we're called to be children of light. As Christians, we also are called to be kingdom people. And we've already talked about, this is like the fourth sermon about the whole kingdom of God. Remember, going back to what we already discussed, a kingdom person is somebody is characterized by humility, is characterized by forgiveness, and also by a kingdom mindset. You know, the priorities is all about God. It's not just you. That's what a kingdom person is. And you and I are to live as kingdom individuals. Now, what does that mean? To live as kingdom people. I think the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church of Ephesus, and I don't know if you can read those fonts, it's a little small over there, but he writes this letter to them to communicate and to guide them, to encourage them to live as children of light. Because you already made the transition. You were in darkness, now you're in light. You were in death, but now you have life in Christ Jesus. He writes this letter in chapter 4 of Ephesians, page 1135 in your pew Bibles. Like I said, to remind Christians that, okay, that's what you used to be before, but you already made the transition. Therefore, you are to live this way now. And so in the school this morning, we talked about God already has given us a pattern, a mold by which we are to live. Just like he gave to the Israelites, he gave them the laws. And this is how my kids are to behave. I mean, when Francis Chan said, we call ourselves Christians, but our lives, our behavior doesn't even reflect Christ, then we definitely have a serious problem there in terms of identity. In Ephesians 4, you got your Bibles with you. That's what Marty was reading for us this morning. Paul begins in verse 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkening their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So a kingdom person is distinct, is separate from a secular individual. The word Gentiles here, yes, the word Gentile means nations. But in the context in which Paul uses it, it's more talking about worldly people. He said, don't live like the worldly people. Don't live like Gentiles do, like secular people do. So you see, there's got to be a distinction. There's got to be a separation between somebody who is a kingdom person versus somebody who's a secular or worldly. And how do they live? Paul says, like secular people, this is what they're thinking, they're reasoning. They're empty. That's what the word says. In the futility of their thinking, there is vain, it's empty. They're darkened in the understanding. They're also alienated from God. They're separated from God because of their ignorance. And they have hardened their hearts. You and I know people like that. It doesn't matter what you tell them about Jesus. You can show them like facts. They are not going to listen to you because they are darkened in the understanding. They're alienated from God. They're separated. Only a miracle of God just to really strike their hearts of stone, because you know they don't wanna. Nothing can penetrate. No argument that you have is gonna desensitize them. So they're all separated from God because of ignorance in their heart, and due to the hardness of heart. It says also they're calloused. They're desensitized, and this is what the proof is. They deliberately indulge or engage themselves in sensuality. Sensuality, the word here is outrageous conduct, something that's not of God. And they have this greed for more. They want more. I mean, the Bible even says that people are going to invent more ways to do evil. I mean, that's indulging in all kinds of impurity. God, that's not of the kingdom. Those are the secular people. Paul already said, I want you to know, and I insist, he said, I insist on this, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. That the futility of their thinking, they're darkening their understanding, they're separated from God because the ignorance that they have, and they have hardened their hearts to God. I mean, they continually indulge themselves in things that they're not supposed to, but that's their lifestyle. You, however, he said, look at verse 20. You, however, now I'm talking to Christians, did not come to know Christ that way. You see, this is the whole idea of this different lifestyle versus this one. There's secular people and there are kingdom people based on our text today. And sometimes we might be tempted to go back to be secular, not kingdom people. You and I have been called by God to salvation. We've been called to Him to live for Christ. So we belong to the kingdom of God. Therefore, we are to behave as kingdom people, not as secular people. That's the distinction. And Paul makes it clear right here. You, however, say, you know you did not come to know Jesus this way. When you were taught in Him, he said, truly you heard of Him and were taught in Christ in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off or to lay aside the old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So a kingdom person is distinct from a secular person. A Christian or kingdom person lives according to God's standard. If you belong to the kingdom, this king already gave me a standard. This kingdom has a way of looking at things differently from secular people. So we have the king's standard. Kingdom people live according to God's standard. And he says right here some of the things that we learn from Christ. One of the things, look what he says. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. So a kingdom people renounce the old self. The transition we made was from secular to kingdom people, from death to life, from darkness into light. So some of us used to be secular. You understand what I'm saying? Say amen and you do.
Amen.
Okay. God brought us from that old life. Remember, the Bible talks about if anybody is in Christ, it's what? A new creation. So some of us, perhaps, we were really into the secular thing. I mean, we used to listen to a lot of secular music and secular everything. Now, please, hear me out. I'm not saying that because you listen to Jay-Z or somebody. That's bad. But think about, how am I going to promote something that's more spiritual than listening to some kind of like garbage, really? That's what it is. When he's desecrating Jesus in some of the songs. Maybe I'm preaching to some people today. I mean, think about, if he's not going to promote Christ's attitude, why would I even buy his CDs? I mean, you know, I used to love the song, New York, concrete jungle, where dreams are made up. And I began to listen to the lyrics. And then he said, Jesus can save you. Then so, forget, okay, you're going to talk about my Jesus? I'm not buying your CDs. I'm going to operate by my kingdom people. And secular, you know, they're dark. And as long as I make money, I can just talk about Jesus. You know, so we have to make that choice, Christian. This is what we used to do, some of us. And, you know, some of you probably already know that, you know, even when you became a Christian, even you changed your friends too. Because they were not promoting kingdom purposes. I mean, some things, I mean, we had to do that transition. Sometimes we're like, do I go this way? And lukewarm, the Bible talks about in Revelation, we're like, which way do I go? If God already rescued you from that, live. So you did not come to know Christ this way, Paul said to the church. When you were taught in Christ to put off the old self, get rid of the old self, let it aside, and to be dressed, to be clothed with a new self that's created to be like God in righteousness. That's the whole idea of taking off and putting on when we come to Christ. Now you're clothed with Christ. So a kingdom person lives according to God's standard. A kingdom person renounces the old self. He says right there, the old selves continue to be corrupted by lust and deceit. Verse 24. We Christians, we have made a transition. And yes, the old self is always going to be a temptation for many of us to go back to that. And Paul is almost saying like, hey, watch it. This is where you are now. Live accordingly to what your King expects of you. You and I are a new creation in Christ Jesus. A kingdom person continues to renew their thinking, their mind. Look what he says in verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. Some translation will read it like this. To be made new in the spirit of your mind. In other words, what is the Bible calling kingdom people? To renew our thinking. Our thinking has to be not secular thinking, but kingdom thinking. Paul always talks about renewing your mind. If we want transformation in our lives, in our society, it starts with our thinking. We got to change the way we think. How we used to look at the world, we have a different perspective now, kingdom people. And that's Christ's perspective. Paul said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing the way you think. Sometimes we need a lot of renewing in our heads and our thinking, because we tend to go back to the secular world. You know, when the government is passing so many laws, and I used to get angry, like, you know, and then I realized, hold on a moment. That's expected. They're not kingdom people. They're not going to pass laws that will glorify God. I mean, don't expect that these things are going to change. If they don't operate by God's standard, what do you expect? It's always going to be something that will go against Christianity, against God. And then, you know, I don't even get angry anymore because I realize the Bible teaches me it's going to get worse. So, as kingdom people, we have a standard. And yes, we see that sometimes the government does not promote the standard of God. And we just got to go with God's standard, not what the people, your desire, what you think should be done. Because remember last week we talked about unspoken expectation. People's agenda sometimes does not match God's agenda. And I got to make sure if I'm a kingdom individual, I got to go with God every time. Every time. We got to continue to renew our mind. Kingdom people got to be continuous to be clothed with Christ. I love Romans 13:14. He says, rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. I love that imagery, clothing ourselves with Jesus. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. So, clothe yourself with Christ and do not think going back to where you came out of. Clothe yourself with Christ. You know, there's something we do in church that's the imagery of clothing yourself with Christ? Baptism. Romans, I don't even have that in my text. It just came to my mind now. In Galatians, I believe it's 3:26. It says, like, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. In other words, before that, we were naked, spiritually speaking. But since we've been baptized with Christ, we're clothed with Christ. And then, therefore, we got to honor Him with how we live our lives. You know, that secular thing, the thinking, you know, that's always going to be a temptation. It's not going to go away. The moment you decide to make a transition to live for Jesus, watch it. More things are going to happen to your life. That's why I always go against the prosperity gospel, because when people got baptized, I was thinking, you know, we're going to be attacked. Watch it. And it's going to come from within, because Satan doesn't want you to follow Jesus. Satan doesn't want you to operate by the standard that God has given us. He's going to do everything in his power to trap you. That's what the author of Hebrews says. You know, you're running with perseverance, but there's like sin is trying to get you because he doesn't want to let go of you. And he's going to use what you used to do before. It's like, hey, they always want to bring thoughts in your mind. So like, you think you're holy? Yeah, right. And you think you go to church? You're so sinful. I know. And so to make you miserable, so you always be a miserable Christian and you never had the joy of your salvation, reminding you what you used to do. And Paul said, hey, you know, put on Christ now. This is your new identity. This is what you used to be. You've been rescued from that. And now this is your kingdom. Walk as a kingdom individual. And we know it's not that easy. That's why you always have to continue putting it on. Because sometimes we're tempted to just take the old clothes back, put it back in there. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about, that's the mind, renew your mind. Do not think about how you can gratify the desires of the flesh. The New Living Translation reads it this way. It says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge the evil desires of the flesh. Because the Bible talks about, you see, there's a battle waging within your mind, within your heart. It's a battle between good and evil. Like you see, all movies portray that. It's a battle between the evil, the sinful nature within ourselves and living according to the Spirit. And they always, it's the clash of the titans right there. Who's going to win this battle? The one that you turn to. Sometimes if you turn in this way, secular, the evil's going to win. He won it with Peter one time. Peter had to get back. He's like, whoa. He had won it with me and with you. Who's going to win this battle? The one that you're like, oh, no, I got to put on this one. Get ready. Get ready. Put on Christ. Continue doing that. Kingdom people, that's what we've been called to do. Renewing our mind. We think now as kingdoms, individual. Paul, Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. But where am I in your priority list? Where do you have me? Am I your priority? Keep on putting on Christ, being clothed with Christ. He is our new identity. We are the new creation in Christ. Now, it's interesting. When I was doing this sermon, I realized this is one of the easiest sermons because it has the application right there. You don't even have to come up with the application. Paul brings it up. When in verse 25 through 32, then he goes, therefore, and you know the word therefore is connecting everything else he has said. Now he's saying, because of what I told you before about the secular versus kingdom people, the old self, versus the new self. One is corrupted because it's all about deceit and lust. One is being renewed because it's made into the image of our Creator. And we start to look and be more like Jesus in our behavior. Then Paul goes, therefore, okay, I'm concluding my statement here, he's saying, because of what I told you, he says, verse 25, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. So here's the application. To be honest with you, really, what it means to be a kingdom person. Paul listed, he lists certain categories right here. So kingdom people are clothed with truth rather than falsehood. That's the first one that I see. It says, each of you must put off, take it off, falsehood, and speak truthfully to his neighbor, because all of us are members of one body. Here's the perspective. Secular people is all about lying. When we just lie to one another, we're acting like secular. Instead of speaking the truth and stand for the truth, that's what God expects of us. I mean, he even said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he is the truth. So we kingdom people have to stand for the truth. And even when we don't want, because my offense about it, you have to speak the truth. Instead of being false, phony, that's what secular people are. That's what, take it off, stand for the truth. I mean, he said it. I mean, he's being very practical. Therefore, each of you, he said to the church, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. And then another one, kingdom people, don't let themselves be mastered by anger. You know, you and I, we're all going to get angry at times. Getting angry is not a sin. It's what you do when you're angry that might turn into a sin. I was to say somebody, nobody killed anybody because they were happy. They were mad at somebody and shot him because anger got hold of them. So the text here says, in your anger, that's the NIV, do not sin. What it really says, be angry, but do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin, because, you know, that's the mind, renewing your mind. You get angry, and now you start thinking evil thoughts about that particular individual. You wishing that person to be killed. You know that's not of God. In your anger, you're already planning vengeance. And what does Yahweh say? Vengeance is mine. And that's what Paul's advice here, deal with your anger quickly. Because, when we're angry, we say things that later on we regret it, don't we? It's like, you know, because, you were in that moment. So, kingdom people keep their anger in check. They keep their anger in check. So, like I said, there's always, we deal with people. I'm going to make you angry one day. You're going to make me angry. But what do we do when that happens? That's what he says, deal with it. He said, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, husband and wives, they always going to get angry because you burned their beans today. It's like, how are you talking to one another? I mean, even there, I mean, I'm not going to rip you apart with verbally because I'm so angry. So watch it. It's like, he says, do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And do not give Satan a foothold. That's all Satan needs, to get you angry. And now it's like, ooh, now I can play around. So when you get angry, you know what happens? You open the field to Satan, like, come and do whatever you want to do with me. That's what it is. And then he'll just come. So that's why Paul says, deal with it quickly. That's the whole idea. Don't go to bed when you're angry. I always say, when my wife and I have had a really heated argument, I know her style. She had to leave the house for a while. And as a husband, I have to respect that. It's like, you know, man, we try to fix things immediately. It's like, well, let's talk about it right now. No, she doesn't want to talk. She needs some time off to think. And that's good. I've been learning that. So she goes, and then when she comes back, we discuss it. You know, we talk about that. But, you know, I cannot sit down on my computer to write a sermon when that happens, because it's almost God saying, don't even try. You got to deal with that first before you can come and try to be a preacher again. You got to deal with that before, you know, you want to worship me and pray, and then, you angry with your sister and brother. Don't even try. Deal with that first, and then we can talk. So to me, I cannot concentrate until we have talks. Like now, you know, now it's good. So you know, when I'm getting over here to preach, everything is okay in my family. Because I could not, I mean, that God just hitting me. Like I could not, in my conscience, like I could not get over here knowing that my wife's going to be like, yeah, there he is preaching. And yeah, I know how he behaves at home. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how people can do it, but like, it would bother me. You know, it's like, so we're good. We're good. It's like, in your anger, do not let Satan the open door to do whatever he wants when you are angry. So, kingdom people, keep it in check. He said he encouraged the church, keep your anger in check. You know, don't let Satan use that as a tool to get you into sin. Now, kingdom people also, don't steal. I mean, to me, when I read that one, I was like, what? Why is this one even in here? Apparently, the church in Ephesus, they were Christians, or they were already Christian, and they were stealing. Well, you know, in churches, there are people that, they might want to help themselves. Jesus had one of those people as one of the apostles. Remember who? Judas. The Bible said that he would help himself from the collection. Kingdom people don't steal. Paul said, verse 28, and he who has been stealing, so apparently there were people in that church stealing, and now Paul says that person should no longer steal, but must work and doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Kingdom people don't steal, they work hard, and they share and show generosity. That's one of the aspects that we have, you know, when you have something, I mean, you work hard, because, you know, you want to have a nice living, and you're not going to use methods that are not according to our kingdom. You know what I mean? So you're going to earn a decent living God's way, and you're going to share with people. After you earn something, share. That's what God is all about, giving us, you know, share with those in need. So Paul said to the person in the church, whoever's been stealing, don't steal any longer, but work diligently. That way you get something, and then you can share that with all the people that might be in need. We know how they took care of their needs in the first century. When people share, they would sell whatever and say, hey, somebody's in need, let's help him out because he's our brother and sister. Kingdom people honor God. Look at this one. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is a tough one for many of us. The whole idea, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. What's the whole idea of unwholesome? It's the whole idea that corrupt, rotten, worthless, nasty. There's some Christians that really know how to be nasty. It's just like, wow, that nastiness doesn't even portray Christ. You know, and it's like, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't use your speech to build people up, not to destroy them. You feel me? You know what? Use your speech, your words. There's a song. Words can never, I mean, you can destroy people just by how you talk to them. I've known people that their kids have committed suicide because all their lives their parents were like, well, you're nobody. You're nothing. And eventually they begin to believe that they're nobody. And what do? So, well, nobody needs me. So what am I doing here? And they kill themselves because it wasn't physical, just speech. Emotion, it gets into the emotion. So you're either going to build people up or you're either going to tear them down by how we communicate to them. Paul said, kingdom people, honor God with the speech, how we talk to one another. I know that there are Christians that struggle with foul language, you know, and we were talking about this morning that where you work, people sometimes they use different adjectives to communicate something. That's secular. Kingdom people, we don't use those adjectives. The S and the F and whatever, you know, and even Jesus Christ is the name they want to use as an adjective in a bad connection. We don't act like that. This is our, we don't need those adjectives. We can communicate truth and we can be firm without having to conform to your style. You know, even in the movies, eventually PG-13 is going to be really bad one of these days. In 10 years, it's going to be the R-rated movie because they, you know, how many F-words they were using in movies. I mean, that's what, you know. And Christians, I mean, remember, that's how you used to talk. I had a cop one time and she said to me, you know, I'm a Christian, but it appears to me that I cannot communicate effectively unless that I use those words. And I said, well, you need the Messiah to come and sweep some things in you. Because, you know, we got to talk in our speech. We have to honor God, even how we communicate. We have to speak with a Christian accent now. All of y'all. We have to communicate truth to people the way that Jesus would. Jesus never cursed somebody, you know. And, you know, it's happening in our society. We conform. And the words are just waiting for you to sleep. It's like, oh, I thought you were a Christian. And they don't realize also that you are a work in progress, that sometimes you might be tempted to go back there. Remember, he has given us a pattern. He has given us a way to speak, to communicate. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is beneficial to build people up. I had to tell a lady one time. I said, lady, you need people skills. But I didn't need to use adjectives. She got angry at me. I said, all I'm doing, I came here because you told me to come and I brought the paper. And today you say, this is not, I need more papers. And you see, you don't even want to treat me. You need people skills. Can I get, you know, you have to be firm. But you see, I don't have, and I wasn't wishing. Now, the day, next day I went back and I was praying, Lord, may I not see that lady again? She was there. And then I'm looking like this, 5:39, like, oh, you know, humanly speaking, I was like, somebody else took care of me, and this lady was the sweetest lady in the whole world. It's like she would just take, it's like the Lord provided. But you see, I wasn't thinking that. I was like, I just don't want to deal with that today. You know, just maybe she was there, you know. and like I said, somebody else took care of me. We have a different pattern. You can speak the truth without having to be nasty to people. Be firm. The Bible said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You try to do something else, you're going to get in trouble. Christians, we need to learn that. Sometimes we get in trouble because of that. Then he says, look at Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious. You know how hard that is sometimes? Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That's the kingdom perspective. Your speech, how we communicate, they gotta be seasoned, gracious, seasoned with the salt of the Spirit. Because you know how secular people communicate. And sometimes they're gonna come to you and it's almost like they're gonna attack you, and then what's the temptation? To attack him back. And you know, even the Bible in Proverbs says that the gentle answer take away the wrath, the anger. I mean, but some of us need to learn that. Kingdom perspective. Kingdom people try their best not to grieve God. Look at what he says. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know how many times we grieve God with our speech, with our attitude, with our behavior, even how we're driving our car. We were talking about this morning. It might not portray a kingdom people because now you're reckless in the road. You're going through the red light. Secular people do that, not Christian. I was telling them, the church we came from, they had a van. It says First Christian Church of Elgin. Every time I drove that van, I had to be in my best behavior. Why? Because he had a logo that says First Christian Church. What are people going to think when I go right through? Those church people, they drive the worst. So you say, I'm putting on this van. So even when I didn't have the logo, I realized I got to try my best to drive the way Jesus would drive. Obeying the law. And you know, I'm bad because sometimes I want to go 5 over the limit, like some of you want to do. But at least, you know, stop. Don't rush to the yellow. You know, it's like, because you never know what might happen. But again, it's our perspective that we have to adapt, even how we're driving. And when somebody cuts you off, I mean, the other day I wanted to get even with somebody. I almost turned the car around. And I felt a hand saying, like, let it go. And we need that reminder sometimes. You know, that, you know, it's like, kingdom people, kingdom. So put on Christ. Let it go. Kingdom people try their best not to grieve God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives in us. And that's why we consider children of light. He's a down payment, the deposit of what's coming, the redemption that is ours. You know, God's people grieve the Lord in the Old Testament. Look at what Isaiah 63:9-10 says. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against them. We grieve God when we rebel, when we sin, when we don't act like his children, when we don't act like kingdom people. He's grieved because he said, hey, you're my kid now. Behave according to my stature. Kingdom people, look at what the final part of the text. It says, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So kingdom people renounce or lay aside bitterness, rage, anger, brawling. It's the whole idea of I'll cry against you, because I'm so mad and ticked off at you. You laid aside those things. You don't slander people. The word for slander is blasphemy, which means you talk evil. This is like gossip type of thing. You talk evil about that person when that person is brought up in a conversation. Kingdom people, don't act like that. You don't speak evil of those that are your brothers and sisters. And then you don't, you know, get rid of all malice, all kind of wickedness. This is the secular. That's how seculars behave. And then look. And then he goes in the next one and says, put on. Be kind and compassionate and with one another, forgiving each other. Now this is what we are to do as kingdom people. Be kind. And you know how hard that is sometimes? To be kind to people who are not kind to you? But that's what God is calling us to do. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving people the way that we in Christ have been forgiven by God. It goes back to forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. We have been chosen to follow Christ, and we have ourselves chosen to follow Him. We are therefore called children of light. We are people of His kingdom, and we are to behave according to kingdom behavior. We have made a transition from the secular to live for God right now, for His kingdom. We also learn how to distinguish between secular and kingdom folks. God is grieved when you and I, as His people, don't behave according to what He has given us, according to His standard. Now, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. How you do that? Let your light shine before men, that they might see your works, your good deeds. By how you behave, you either shine in the light or you just black. When the apostles were brought before the ruling authority in the book of Acts, the ruling authority, those secular people could not help but notice that they have been with Jesus. In Acts 4:13, it's almost like it was obvious for them, like these people have been with Jesus. There was something about the apostles that told secular, we live by a different standard. And it was, they even said it was secular. They were secular people who called them Christians because their lives was all about Christ. Center around Christ. And so I love that text in Acts 4:13. It was obvious that those men have been with Jesus. Now the question that I want to leave you with today is, will it be obvious to people around us that we are kingdom people? Will they even notice that we are kingdom individuals? It was obvious for the apostles. I mean, they even changed their name to Christian because their life was all about Christian. Will people see what I do and think, yeah, they live differently. They have a different standard. Even how they talk. Will that be so obvious for us that secular people will know around us that we are about God's kingdom and not about being like them? I hope it is obvious on all of us as we live our lives to be kingdom people, because we have been transitioned by God Himself to live this way now.